welcome to the CLC Content Team podcast. I'm a technical writer, John Townsend. With me, I have Brandy Smith, Daniel Morton, and Jessica Weber, all members of the content team, spearheaded by Adam Newvander out in Portland. And we're going to go through our process with how we plan out content, how we edit content, how we publish, and the steps we take to make sure product teams and other teams in the CLC organization are well represented through the work that we produce. So I'm going to start by asking Brandy, who's our analyst, how she goes about planning content for our calendar.
Sure. So we try to take a proactive approach, looking 30 to 60 days out. We try to keep a pulse on product launches from beta to GA to feature releases. So we work closely with the teams to try to understand their timelines and create content accordingly. And then we also research topical subjects that would matter to the audience, both the cloud-based audience and the dev center. So if we find topical things that are happening, we try to get a pulse on those and do some research and create great content out of those as well. But we really rely heavily on the product teams to keep us in the know, let us know what they need from us as far as getting the word out on their product. You know, they are the SMEs of how their product fits in the platform and the problems that it can solve for our customers. So having their voice speak to that is priceless. And then us strengthening it with just John and Daniel's technical writing skills, packaging it all up with a social campaign, imaging, and getting it on the site is kind of all pieces of the puzzle of the process for us.
So in essence, it's kind of a case of we need something before we actually can publish from the team. We need to be front-loaded with information because, as you said, Brandy, they are the SMEs. They're the subject matter experts. And I think the assumption is we are scribes and we know as much as they do, which is kind of a dangerous way to go about generating content. And we all come from different backgrounds with regards to teams we've been on. So, Dean, I'm going to ask you first, what team were you on prior to the content team, and what's your experience with the technical documentation you've done here prior to the content team formation?
So prior to the content team, I was on the CDC FedRAMP certification endeavor for the CenturyLink Cloud Data Center. And prior to that, was with Thomson Reuters. Prior to that, Bridge Information, which spun off Savvis, which hired me on for the CDC project. I've had lots of different experience in a lot of different verticals, ranging from security to financial information to physical motors. And now I find myself on the cloud content team. And so I'm playing around in the cloud now. But all of that to say, I've had opportunity to write on a lot of different things, and I can write about just about anything, and so here we are in the cloud content team now, and having a lot of fun learning about the different products and putting together all kinds of content related to that.
And Jessica, what about you?
So before this team, I was actually on the storage team, which is a product team at CenturyLink. And so instead of being over all the products and trying to write at a higher level about all of their documentation, I actually wrote just about storage, just about all of our different kind of product offerings. And a lot of my documentation was actually internal for other people on the storage team that were working with our product. Some of it was also external. I did some marketing. So some of the stuff that we do now on our team for marketing and for blog posts and stuff like that, I didn't really do for that team. But I had a lot more technical experience down in lower level, like, internal documentation. So
you had, like, a deep dive into one singular team entity, and you kind of covered documentation through, you know, release notes, meeting minutes, to building a Confluence page, and kind of covering all documentation needs for an entire
team.
Yeah. And you know, I come from the legacy product line for doing all of these services and products that were on offer. And so what we're kind of discovering with this formation of the content team is we have a ton of experience from different backgrounds, ranging from singular team assignments to other departments entirely in projects and certification programs to different documentation for a myriad of different audiences. And so I think what is valuable to understand is once Brandy collaborates and plans out and establishes a working process for these teams to give us content to work with, or for us to create content for teams, there's an editing process that has to go through, a couple rounds. And so on Brandy's end, I want to kind of get a bigger deep dive into how she allocates some of these assignments to the tech writers, or sends it back to the team if it's not ready for our review. So what's kind of your short version experience of how you allocate that stuff?
Well, generally we get it in a fragmented state. Drafts can come in anywhere from just needing light grammatical editing to actually a partner giving us just bare bones data for us to create the actual content from. So I try to kind of gauge where in the life cycle the content is when we receive it, and that's how I decide the life cycle that it still has to walk through. And based on the workload of you, Jess, and Daniel, and what other cards you guys already have in your cycle, who would be best fit to do that? And since we work in pretty much a pick up at your own pace cycle, with the exceptions of things that get kind of last minute attention, like a product going earlier or later than we anticipated in the roadmap, generally we're able to plan for those pretty well. The tricky piece is having to collaborate with other entities and able to get it published. So while we, you know, own the process of working with the teams to get the content and editing and imaging and stylistics, we also have to rely on other entities within the company, marketing, legal, and then the digital team to actually push it live to the site for us. So we also have to work through their cycles as well. So ensuring that the scheduling works for everyone involved is probably the trickiest part. So when we reach out to teams for a draft date, we're not basing that draft date off of just obscure needs of our team. They're actually based on ensuring that everyone gets enough time to touch the content, ensure that it's the best it can be for our readers, and actually build in the time for it takes to actually work to get it live on the site.
So it sounds like a lot of it comes down to bandwidth for multiple different teams. And you mentioned this digital aspect, which I think it's interesting to talk about, because more often than not, content teams are relegated to just editing in words as a perception of what we have to do. But the reality is, for product teams and all these moving parts, we have to get it to a state of readiness for the digital team to actually do all of the back-end work for this work to be published. And so, Daniel, can you kind of describe what happens when Jessica or myself writes a piece and it's ready for a peer review? What do you do, and what's the process from getting it from one person to carry the bucket to the next person so we can finally give it to the digital team to push that thing through?
Right. So one of the things that we try to do as a content team is to keep the content public, whether it's public site or dev center, of high quality. And one of the things that jumps out immediately to a tech writer is, is everything grammatically correct? Does a sentence, in fact, make sense? Does it have a subject? Does it have a verb? Is all the punctuation there? And so we pay attention to a lot of detail when a piece is handed off for peer review. We read it thoroughly for grammar, punctuation, stylistics, to make sure that each and every piece that comes across the content team is consistent from top to bottom. And I should also mention that we ensure that all of the links work and that all of the paths to images also work. And so there are a lot of details that we pay attention to when a piece comes to us.
There's an interesting aspect to all the things you described that we've all experienced in different levels, which is, Daniel, I think you were the one who found out that the word phishing actually meant two different things in a link, and you did some fact-checking, and it took you to an actual phishing site, which highlights the importance of this review process. And, right. Jess, I kind of want to talk to you about the... And that's one of our early experiences on the content team, which...
Amazon fishing trip, Amazon, as in Amazon River.
So, whether that was the intention or not, it was good that we checked it, and I think that there's another aspect that we should definitely hit on, which is checking things for technical accuracy in relation to what we know. So, there's a certain point when the SME is going to expect a turnaround,
mm-hmm.
but there's often something that we need to do, which is validate what they've presented to us so we can gain this baseline generalist knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of walk us through an experience where you've had to research something maybe and go back to the SME with some questions or how that process works for you?
So when I review something, a lot of it, you know, Daniel said we go over grammar and stylistics, but with the content, it depends wholly on how much I know about it, how well I can review that part of it. So if it's something from the storage team, I have a lot of general background knowledge about that. And so, or something from security, I've done a lot of security stuff. But the security knowledge came from early on the team. I was asked to, go over some documentation for security and compliance, and I hadn't really had very much experience with it. And so, I ended up having to do this whole Excel spreadsheet of all the different things we offered in security and compliance, and then research all of it because I had no idea what was going on with any of it. And so that actually took me a couple weeks to do, and it was the content was content for several pages. It wasn't just like one piece of content. And so at the end of it, I had a lot of knowledge about it, but it was something that I definitely had to research myself and then go back and ask the SME what they thought it should say, or is this correct, because here's what I found online. And it was a lot of back and forth, and so it actually, the whole process took a couple of weeks just because of that.
Yeah, and stuff like that can dramatically change publication dates and and deliverables and expectations, which is where Brandy comes back in. And sometimes she's looking at her editorial calendar with Adam weeks out, and cards just fall off and assignments come and go. And I think part of the skill of what Brandy does is to really try to get ahead of the curve with some of these things. And she has a process of purging our Trello board, which I'd like her to describe because we haven't really done it formally on a consistent basis quite yet because we're refining the process because our columns change quite a bit. But Brandy, what's your expectation for this exercise as we go forward?
I think that as we've evolved as a team, we've realized that cards that we created at one time can become stale. Some have a life expectancy on it that if we don't meet them in time for whatever reason, it makes sense to go ahead and purge them off of our board. So as we've come to that realization, I think that we understand that a monthly look at the Trello board to purge it makes sense. It's probably a group activity just because we can talk about them in a group setting and kind of learn from the experience of, hey, when we created this card, this was the thought process behind it. even though the card itself might be stale, are there any pieces or breadcrumbs that we can take away from it? Do we need to totally archive the card and scrap it? And then what brainstorms can come out of archiving that card, or what lessons learned can come from, hey, is there a different way that we could tag this so we didn't lose the momentum that was once created when the thought came to make the card a, you know, to create the card. So, and, you know, we're learning through that process. When we began using Trello, it was something that was kind of a tool created for software engineers, and it makes a lot of sense the way that it's set up for them. And it did make a lot of sense for us, but we tried to make our process fit into it versus the other way around, make Trello work for us. So once we realized that we should probably make Trello work for us and not the other way around, it gave us a much more streamlined approach to how we handled our cards and moved them across the board.
It's funny you say fit into a process, because I think for the longest time there has been no dedicated content team at CenturyLink, especially in CLC, where the content is created and published every day and on a rotating cadence. Daniel or Jess, I'll let you both answer this, because I have my opinions on it, but I'm interested in yours. What would you say goes into working documentation into a team's process? We've had to kind of augment how we look at teams' needs and capabilities, and with whether there's turnover or there's changes made, we've had to scramble at times and adjust. How would you put it where we need to somehow make documentation either a priority or part of a sprint or a working calendar within a team dynamic? And either one of you can take the first stab at that.
So I think here, at least, we've worked basically based on team. It's, you know, every team has a Trello board that they work with, and they work within sprints, but all of their sprints are different, and they all work differently together. And so, for example, client security, they actually put cards on their board, I know, for their documentation, and they work it into their sprints. But other teams work different ways, and they kind of just, for them, it has to be their priority and our priority. We're a content team, and so our priority is always the content. But for them, it has to work both ways, and it has to be their priority, too. So for client security team, their priority is always there because it's always a card on their board. So that would be my suggestion for all teams, really, is to put actual cards on your board, because it can fall off your radar if you don't.
So a visual. And
yeah, it's a visual thing, really.
Point value, maybe.
Yeah, point value, or however they work. Having a visual there reminding you, because, I mean, if we didn't have cards on our board, I wouldn't remember half the things we had to do. And so I can't imagine having all of the stuff they do for their development and then having the documentation needs they have to do and not have a card for it.
Right. Daniel, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, so in addition to what Jessica said, I would say that we want to help the different product teams raise the visibility of their products, and whether that visibility is going to target the public CLC site or the dev center, it's all about advertising their products on the platform and driving traffic from our website to their particular product pages. And one of the best ways to do that is through timely content and through social media, and combining those together with the release of blog content, other types of content. We want to encourage the teams to work with us in order to make that happen, because ultimately it's going to be to their advantage.
Right. I think in a capacity of sorts, we almost have to reverse engineer and demonstrate to these teams doing great work and providing great services that nobody can know about them unless you provide a documentation medium or a vehicle for that documentation for outside consumption and even internal consumption. And I've seen that a lot with tutorials and knowledge-based articles and blog posts on a different set of levels. But I think it's important for teams to definitely prioritize documentation with the goal in mind to educate and inform, but also to acknowledge the fact that people don't know unless we have something to really showcase. And that leads me to one of the final aspects. Other than the writing, editing, and facilitation of processes, we also do some migration exercises, which Brandy and Adam sit down and we talk about the scope of that. We've had, to date, I think 2 to 3, I would consider minor to major migrations. Brandy, can you talk about what goes in the planning process with regards to a migration and how we kind of execute that as a content team?
Sure. I think that anyone who's worked for CenturyLink knows that we go through iterative phases, and through the acquisitions of companies, there's a need to consolidate web pages and product pages. So part of our efforts have been understanding where it makes sense to take content that might be on another site and migrate it to either CTL.io or the Developer Center. So we had those projects with AppFog, Orchestrate, and then the CenturyLink Labs content. And it's just basically reviewing the content, ensuring that it fits the audience that we're going to migrate it to, whether it be CTL.io or the Dev Center, ensure that the content is still topical and relevant. And then we generally kind of took a divide and conquer method, where everyone on the team took their share of the migration load and made that change. And it is a process within itself, and has dependencies upon the digital team as well to ensure that we do redirects and things like that, so that it doesn't affect the user's experience. But something that takes planning and some strategy behind it, for sure. But in the long run, it's nice to have all content that's consolidated per audience, per site, when we have things like acquisitions and products that go by the wayside or are incorporated into another product.
Yeah, I think the other interesting and useful aspect of a migration is it teaches us new skills other than what we specialize in from the day-to-day. One of them being looking at a site from the existing to dragging it over to the new site. And then inevitably that opens up rabbit holes of we might identify new or existing errors that we need to correct before the migration can take place. Jess and Daniel, I'll ask you both this question. What's one skill you learned during a migration exercise that... And it could be the same skill, because I think we've all had our experiences with these buckets of work. But, Dana, what's one skill that you've definitely learned with migrations?
Well, one thing that I've appreciated is the opportunity to use different sets of tools. In particular, GitHub, which we're already familiar with on the team. But especially when it comes to resolving branch conflicts, that opens up a different set of tools and commands that need to be used, which meant that I had to familiarize myself even more with GitHub and use the editing tools that needed to be used in order to resolve those branch conflicts and push the stuff out live on the site. So it's challenging, but it's also invigorating. We're doing a lot of problem solving behind the scenes.
Jess, what do you think?
So part of my answer was going to be GitHub. When we formed the team, we started learning GitHub. So it wasn't completely new, but doing a migration with a lot of volume where you have to kind of coordinate all of this different thing is a completely different thing than just doing one article per time per push on GitHub. And also, speaking to the coordinating part of it, upfront coordination before you start migrations big skill that I learned is to make sure that you know what you're migrating and all of the different rules that you have within that migration. If you're looking at an article and it needs a video embedded, then you should know how to do that before you start migrating the article. Not that you can't learn, we did that, but it's a lot easier if you already have those things set in place before you do it. It goes a lot faster. So learning those kind of technical skills, I didn't know GitHub before I came here, but learning all of the finer points of it, like Daniel said, and kind of how to do branch conflicts and all of that stuff is something I'm definitely learning.
I think migrations also reaffirm standards that we have in place, like what headings, what gets bolded, what SEO rules we have to follow is pertaining to what digital wants to leverage. And one thing that migration brings out of the content team is the second pair of eyes as opposed to those who originally wrote it. And sometimes things change from site to site, and what was an H2 is now an H3 or bold, and it does help us go back to a set of standards that we adhere to internally to make sure content is consistent, accurate, and publishable. And so, you know, this is a really interesting time because, as Brandy said, there are acquisitions that take place, there are changes that have to be made, and there are coordination efforts that extend well beyond stylistics and grammar and copy editing. Mm-hmm. And so, anyone have any closing thoughts before we sign off on this podcast? I think we've covered a lot of bases, for sure. This will be one of hopefully many that we publish and put out there for people to learn more about what we do and how we can best help their teams. And if there's no closing thoughts, I think we're good to go.
I just have one. Keep the content coming our way, because not only does it help our metrics on the content team extranet page, but it also helps you, that is to say, you on the individual product teams, to meet your numbers.
Good.
Yeah. I totally agree with Daniel's his stance. Mine would be, product teams, I implore you to think of content as part of your go-to-market strategy, not a side note.
And think of us when you think about it, because we can help.
And I would encourage everyone to check out our extranet page, because we are putting documentation on there consistently that is there to help you and inform you. So this is the CLC content team signing off. Thanks for listening.